Welcome back to our Intelligent Medicine podcast for today. We're talking about the Alliance for Natural Health, and we're with the Chief Communications Officer of the Alliance for Natural Health. He's responsible for getting the word out, the website, the social media, which is a big job. And he is Tim Rhyme. Tim, welcome back. And so in part two, if you haven't heard it, we talk a little bit about what ANH is doing vis-a-vis new compounding regulations that are coming down the pike that may literally close down some compounding pharmacies that make specialty drugs and specialty vitamin preparations, oral intravenous vitamins. This could be big trouble for people who seek to get natural health care from physicians like myself. And I'm encountering some of the blowback from that continuing to administer the types of therapies that my patients really need. But in part two, let's talk a little bit about ANH's advocacy on the GMO issue. As you know, Tim, a new GMO apple has been approved. And, you might think, well, gee, this is great because this is like an apple that's going to solve the problem of world hunger. But it seems it was developed for simply a rather frivolous reason. It's a non-browning apple. I don't think this is one of the big existential crises that faces the Western world, apples that turn brown. And yet this is an apple that probably you could slice it and just sit it on the counter and it'll just sit there and sit there and sit there and look like a perfectly good apple for weeks on end, which I guess could save money for people who slice and dice apples and put them in salad bars or serve them in restaurants. But does mankind really need yet another GMO product?
Well, I think that's the question that every GMO product actually should raise. I think it shows the length that science is willing to go to solve problems that don't exist. I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, okay, we have a apple and it gets brown if you leave it out too long. And yet you've had a company that has invested, quite a bit of money and time and research into solving this non-problem. But the USDA last Friday, after a three-year wait, I mean, it took this company 3 years to get this product approved. And essentially, what all the USDA approval does is say that it doesn't pose any harm to other plants or pests.
That's actually what struck me in the approval, is that all you have to demonstrate is that it's not going to pose a problem to the environment. But there's nothing about having been field tested in humans or looking at the potential for harm to humans. That's, I guess, just chopped liver. Who cares? Humans, but let's make sure it doesn't devastate, adjoining fields or, cause the extinction of, some sort of endangered species. I guess, that's the perspective that they take.
Yeah. So, I mean, right now, the company has submitted it for a voluntary review by the FDA before it would actually enter the marketplace. And, this isn't the first product in recent years to sort of go through this process. We had a potato, I think it was 6 months ago or so, that got approved. It was a similar type of product. Again, the potato similarly didn't bruise, I think, was the wow. big problem that science had solved with that. It's interesting, it's incredibly frightening that this stuff is going on with it. It shows that the industry believes that once they break through, there's going to be tons of money to be made on these products, or else they wouldn't keep doing it. Because so far, what's happened with these types of products, the potato, for instance, they received approval and immediately, big companies that you'd be shocked to hear, Frito-Lay, McDonald's said, we're not going to use these potatoes.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I was really proud for, it's like to paraphrase Michelle Obama, for the first time in my life, I was proud of McDonald's. that infamous statement she made about America, that McDonald's said we're not going there, and I thought that's really admirable. But I guess there's not a lot of money to be made selling apples at McDonald's. That's not exactly going to cut into their bottom line that they don't have GMO apples.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the problem. There isn't a market. Nobody wants this stuff. I mean, when you poll the public, overwhelmingly, the public does not want these products. You know, there was a right. A controversy surrounding the genetically modified salmon, aqua salmon or aquaculture or whatever it is. You know, and
it's like a big honking salmon, you know, like a Gigundo salmon somehow that, you know, grows much faster.
Yeah, right. Like three days, you got a giant salmon or something.
Right.
That's crazy. But, you know, so before the product still hasn't been approved and hopefully never will be. But even before, you know, based on all of the media reports around it, you had several giant supermarkets step forward and say, we're not going to carry it if it does get approved. Wegmans, I think, was one,
right.
or a couple of, you know, Safeway. You know, so again, it's interesting that you still have these products being pushed onto us when nobody's asking for them. It's just it's shocking to me.
I would say, you know, I'm a big believer in you know, free market capitalism, and you know, it's kind of hypocritical to say, well, let's dispense with regulation, you know, when it comes to compounding pharmacies. But when it comes to introducing products like this, this is actually kind of the opposite of free market principles, because in a free market, you would divulge to the public that this is a GMO product, and then the product can, you know, like a lot of bad ideas, the product, you know, the public can vote with their feet, and, you know, so much for that innovation. However, in order to protect the turf of the biotech companies that are introducing GMO, legislation has been introduced to make sure to reinforce the fact that GMO labeling will not occur. And that's, you know, so you may, as a member of the public, it's like, well, how do you know? It's not even labeled. That's not the operation of a free market.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and I 100% agree with you. I mean, put whatever products you want on the marketplace, but at least if you're going to make a product, tell people what you're selling. I've never understood the argument. These companies, you know, spend millions. I mean, I remember with the Oregon GMO labeling bill, you know, last year, they spent something like $30 million to convince the public that, you know, GMO labeling was going to cost too much money and they shouldn't do it. And, you know, we ended up losing by like 0.6% of a, or 0.6, 0.06% or something. I forget what the exact number is.
Very slim margin.
They're putting tons of money into hiding what's in their products that they claim are safe, and it's an interesting thing. And besides that, you mentioned, you know, what they're doing in terms of putting legislation. So you had Mike Pompeo, you know, last year put forward the what we're calling the DARK Act, which is, you know, essentially a voluntary federal labeling system that would essentially gouge any state initiatives that have already been passed. So you had, you know, Vermont last year passed a mandatory GMO labeling bill, immediately got sued by, you know, GMA and Monsanto and all these, you know, big corporations that have a lot of money invested in this technology. And then, you know, you have this sort of mandate at a federal level saying, well, let's pass a law because we want, you know, to give consumers what they want, but let's make it mandatory. I mean, let's make it voluntary, which essentially means that all state laws just disappear. So they're fighting this on two different fronts. And, you know, it's interesting. I mean, I think this year is going to be really interesting in watching what's going on legislatively on the GMO front. You've had, and just in the last couple of weeks, we've had a couple of states step forward and say they're going to, you know, put this stuff on the ballot. Rhode Island, Arizona, I think Hawaii. I think there's a dozen more states that are, you know, sort of tossing around the idea and trying to, you know, get enough signatures to get it on the bill. You know, so this is something that's happening very actively all around the country at the state level. And then at the federal level, you have a lot of action going on with the DARK Act that Mike Pompeo, you know, put forth. And then we have Senators Boxer and DeFazio who have a Senate bill, which is the GE Right to Know bill, which would be a mandatory federal law, which makes a heck of a lot more sense to me, and you know, certainly a better alternative than this sort of voluntary standard.
So when you go to Congress, is ANH a partisan organization? Are they hanging out with the the Democratic left, the staunch environmentalists, or are they cozying up to the laissez-faire Republicans who are against regulation? Where do you stand?
We are apolitical. I mean, you know, we don't come down with any political party. You know, I think depending on the issue, obviously you're going to draw, you know, for the GMO issue, for instance, there are a lot of people who are concerned about the environment that are involved in that issue. But it cuts across political spectrums. A lot of these issues do because they affect all of us. You know, I think for, you know, certain issues, you can say, all right, this is a issue for the right, this is an issue for the left. I think when it comes to natural health, it really cuts across, you know, the entire gamut of the political spectrum, whether you be libertarian, whether you're, you know, a conservative, whether you're a liberal. We all want to be healthy, and we all want access to the things that are going to help us to be healthy. And so, we stay as far away from aligning with any particular political affiliation, because these aren't political issues. These are health issues, and that's much more important to us.
Let's turn our attention now to the situation in New York State. Earlier this year, you issued an action alert about a state senator, Senator Laval, who is calling for labeling, just for the state of New York, specific labeling that would declare that natural products that have not been tested or approved by the FDA have a warning label, letting the public know that these products were sort of in the gray zone and, you know, were not properly vetted by the Food and Drug Administration. Folks, this gives you an idea of the kinds of action alerts that are issued by ANH. So tell us a little bit about that situation.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because if New York chose to go that route and put a label on that says this product has not been tested by the FDA, really they would have to do the same thing for pharmaceutical products, because the FDA does not test. And so, you know, the actual language of the bill sort of shows, you know, the relative ignorance of the people that crafted the bill, because, you know, that's not the FDA's job. That's not what they do. So it is of concern, you know, and essentially what you have, and it's interesting because that was released, you know, just prior, and I know you covered in some detail. I listened to some of your interviews with Steve Mister and others about the you know, the New York AG and what's happened and the timing.
Right, that's the next outrage, you know, in the state of New York.
You guys have a lot going on up there.
New York is a really fun place to practice medicine and to be a citizen in, because we got a lot of really very, very active public servants who are looking. They've got our backs. They really want to safeguard against all manner of potential hazards, especially when it comes to, you know, dangerous or adulterated herbs, natural therapies that could harm us.
Yeah, it is interesting, the timing of these things is a bit interesting as well. You know, that you have this sort of legislative initiative reintroduced. This wasn't new. I mean, this is something that, you know, you guys have been attempting, not you guys, but, you know, the state of New York has been attempting for some time to sort of set up this parallel regulatory structure within the state of New York.
So it's like a mini FDA. It's like, you know, we're going to have our own little fiefdom to, you know, review and approve supplements.
Yeah, and then obviously, you know, the New York Attorney General decided to interject as well and get involved in the fun up there. So, it's been an interesting couple of months in New York.
Yeah, for those of our listeners who've been under a rock, we've covered this issue a lot. You know, you did a good job of getting the word out about Attorney General Schneiderman's bust of herbal products at four major retailers in New York. I believe it was Walmart, Target, Walgreens, and GNC, and the claim was they tested the stuff and there weren't nothing in those supplements. They were just totally bogus. The public was basically consuming ground up asparagus with a little bit of wheat flour and rice powder, and it was all like, shame on you, you people who are deluded into thinking that you're taking active ingredients. But what's the real deal on that?
Well, you know, as I know you're aware, I mean, the AG, you know, decides, I'm not sure what his motivation was. Well, I have I suspect I know what his motivation was, but
I'll say it as a citizen of the state of New York. I'll say it. AGs, that position is notoriously a springboard for the governorship. And you know, so as an AG, you want to be a crusading consumer advocate, and you want to, like, if they just sued UPS because UPS was delivering illegal cigarettes, so they're really going to town up there in Albany, going after all the perpetrators and all the malfeasance people.
Well, I think, you know, this is probably a good lesson for anybody who wants to become a crusader. If you want to become a crusader, it's generally a good idea to use an appropriate test. And in this case, the Attorney General did not. So you had a ton of people come out immediately after he released this, interestingly enough, in the New York Times, which, again, I think speaks to the motivation of what this was really about. He goes in and performs this raid, conducts this DNA barcoding test, which every expert in the industry has come out and said it's totally inappropriate. Of course, you're going to get those results, because when you have a commercial extract process for herbs, little or no DNA is extracted. So, of course, it's not going to be there. And so using that kind of testing is completely inappropriate. You had Dr. Peter Cohen of Harvard Medical School, who is a vocal opponent of supplements. I mean, he's attacked the industry over and over again.
Yeah, you can't say he's in the pocket of the supplement industry or a spokesperson, right. But he's a fair guy. He's a scientist, right?
Sure. Yep. And said 100%, this is the wrong standard to use. This testing will not yield the results. And so, so you have this giant media event, and it became a media circus really quickly. And that's sort of what I do, is study the media and watch what's going on in the media. And it's interesting that, after the story comes out, you literally had thousands of articles all over the country with these really incendiary headlines about, how supplements were worthless and all of the stuff.
Right. It went very quickly from, let's say, as they say in the legal profession, arguendo, let's assume the worst, and that these supplements sold at these major retailers were the few that they tested were utter crap. It does not necessarily follow that the entire supplement industry is engaged in fraud, deception, and adulteration. But that was the tack that these major newspapers, I no longer am disappointed in the Times when it comes to reporting on natural medicine. I can't possibly be disappointed because they've been so consistent about this. The drumbeat has begun. Okay, we accept these results. And in addition, and within paragraph two, it's like the supplement industry is not regulated, and this is a clarion call for regulation, more laws, more FDA oversight, so that the consumers can be protected. It smacks of an agenda. Can we not bring that to light? An agenda that's not too well hidden either.
Yeah, I think it absolutely smacks of agenda, especially when you step back and look at what happens afterwards. So you have all of these experts who come out, and it's pretty obvious that this was inappropriate testing. GNC did their own testing, and they found that what's on the label is what is in the product. The Attorney General at this point, I think, looks a little foolish. And we've called on him to sort of release the test results. A lot of other organizations have called on him to do so.
By the way, there's a Twitter campaign. I've been really trying to push it. It's hashtag release the report. So if you want to put up your own tweet about the subject, send it to at AG Schneiderman, which is his Twitter handle, release the report, hashtag release the report. And all those tweets will aggregate under hashtag release the report, and hopefully we'll get hundreds and thousands of them.
And hopefully we'll eventually see the report. That would be nice to see. At this point, he has not been able to been willing to release it.
Well, it's a little bit, it's interesting. It kind of reminds me of like the Star Chamber, in the 1600s in England. You were accused. What am I accused of? Well, don't you mind what you're accused of? You're on trial here, and what we do, are there witnesses, or, what's the, forget the evidence, we're going to, you're going to be burned at the stake And, you know, it's just a mere formality that we're going through this trial, and we don't have to produce the evidence because everybody knows that you're guilty as hell. And I guess one of the reasons for the American Revolution and the Bill of Rights and, you know, the Constitution, because under that regime of quasi-medieval governance, you know, we felt that people needed due process, and companies need due process before an edict is released, and you know, you're executed by press release.
Yeah, and I think at a certain level, I mean, while this is, I think, an indictment on what happened in this process and what didn't happen properly in this process, it's an equal indictment to me on the role that media now plays in it within yep. these issues. You know, you have press release journalism where, you know, the attorney general puts out his press release and that's what's printed verbatim without any kind of, you know, inquisition there. I'm using a good word there. Any kind of inquiry into whether or not any of this is valid. And, you know, as you watch the report, after the initial reports die down, and it comes to light that this was not done properly, where are those stories? I'm not seeing them. And
well, I have to say, though, I was very pleased to see a major article in the New Yorker magazine. New Yorker is a national magazine, and they really, you know, it was a very well-written, balanced article, and they said, look, it's an inappropriate test. And I thought, wow, this is a magazine that carries a lot of weight, not just in New York, but it's a national magazine. I love the cartoons, by the way, and the fiction, you know, the movie and Broadway reviews and the book reviews. But, you know, this is a pretty, it's a publication known for its journalistic integrity. It's been around since the 1920s. And literally read by millions. So I was actually happy to see some balance being restored in the discussion of this. Unfortunately, you know, no big retractions. We don't expect them from the Times and all the major, you know, the Washington Post, the mainstream media. But, you know.
Yeah, and the New Yorker gives you hope. I wish it had been a little more widely broadcast because the crescendo that came out, you know, after the initial sting, It was a very small whisper in response, on the back end of this, and it's just the way these things go, unfortunately.
Which brings us to today's Intelligent Medicine Call to Action. If you want a corrective on some of the misinformation that's out there, the mainstream media covering stories, a lot of anti-supplement bias, anti-natural medicine bias, pro-GMO stories and editorials, pushback against reasonable controls on pollution and our food supply. That's the beat of ANH. ANH is in your corner as someone who wants to preserve a modicum of healthy living on a variety of fronts. And so it behooves you to subscribe to the newsletter. How do they do that?
They can just visit our website at anh-usa.org. There's a simple form to fill out on the homepage, and you'll be able to sign up right away.
And you'll be ahead of the curve on some very, very important issues. So I want to thank you very much, Tim, and I'll be seeing you soon in Washington at our annual board meeting of ANH. I look forward very much forward to that. There we'll be discussing a lot of issues that are pertinent to our listeners' concerns.
So, well, thank you so much for having me, Ron. I really appreciate it. Always enjoy it.
My pleasure, Tim. Thanks very much. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.